John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network. Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, is here with me. It's Happy Birthday, Israel. We go immediately to the what can go wrong and why. That would be, Malcolm, Israel's vaccinated. Israel's prosperous. Israel's looking for reopening its gates. Israel's enjoying the Abraham Accords and the wonderful gifts that will follow in a peace of the peoples. The Biden administration is talking a game, but then again, the UAE sale for F-35s is going through. So what are we worried about, Malcolm?
Well, there's a lot to celebrate. Israel came through the pandemic, and as you said, while it paid a heavy toll like other countries with many dead and hospitals at times choked, but Prime Minister Netanyahu moved aggressively to secure the vaccination. So they had a head start, not for others, but had placed the orders and paid for them, and not because of any favoritism, but because he was smart and anticipated the aftermath. And so they're now about 70% and heading towards herd immunity. But at the same time, the country, which is now 9.3 million people, 75% Jewish, 26% others. But, you know, in the year when they suffered from all these accusations that they weren't giving vaccinations to the Arabs, and which was all untrue, the new numbers that came out today are really quite remarkable, that 23% of Arab Israelis and middle class incomes, up from 15.9% in 2007, and 6% more belong to the upper classes. And we see that the Arab students are now has doubled to almost 17+% in the colleges, and in the tech workforce also doubled, which is about their proportion of the population. So the lies and blood libels, again, proven false, and Israel has much to celebrate, but at the same time, much to be concerned because they have neighbors who still don't accept its existence.
Iran. Malcolm, Iran keeps making announcements about increasing enrichment of its fissile material, what it has, the uranium it has. These announcements are usually conjoined with some intransigent speech by the supreme leader. Is this part of the game of back to negotiations, or is Iran intending to build a weapon in front of the whole world?
They are still going ahead with their plans. They're announcing now that they're going to increase the enrichment at Fordo, which was the other place, and they say they have 1,000 centrifuges, and they're going to go up to 60%. 90% is weapon grade. They're supposed to keep it below 20%. They reached up to 20% now. They're not supposed to. They're supposed to be at 3.5%. So clearly they're threatening to move ahead. What happened at Natanz and was really a spectacular operation, whatever happened, there was a 22-foot crater that one of the inspectors fell into when they came to the site. They thousands of centrifuges were destroyed. They say it set them back at least 7 to 9 months in the program. And even Iranian spokespeople are acknowledging it and, you know, usually denied. At first they said and there were no injuries, it was a minor incident, so a blackout. They couldn't, because people saw the explosion from far away. They're saying it may have been a remote bomb. But remember, this is coming in the context of an election that's coming up. And the mockery by the people of their inability to protect the facilities after the various raids and other things that have taken place. And of course, there'll be recriminations spread amongst the various official. They claimed then that some Mossad operation in Iraq was hit. It turns out, of course, that wasn't true. The regime has been exposed to many people, and they're fearing what this could mean for them. The cables were destroyed, the electrical system. It'll take quite a while till this is able to come back. We've seen they're trying to kidnap Israelis by luring them on site with women, trying to lure the people out of the country or to meetings abroad. And they say the 60% enrichment is for radiopharmaceuticals, but this is the first time we've heard anything like that. Clearly, they're putting down markers. They're expanding their efforts, including testing nuclear-capable missiles, which is another part of the weaponization process. So Iran is moving ahead. This is a setback for them. We don't know whether they'll try to exploit it at the talks and not show up at the talks, or tried to mobilize the other parties against Israel in it. But those are things that we will have to see in the coming days.
Yeah, London papers said that this event, the origin was Israel, but there's no confirmation in Israel, Malcolm. So I want to move to another story where there looks to be reports of conflict. That's the battle at sea. I asked Professor Nagel, is it escalating? It would appear, Malcolm, that Israel is defending itself off its own shores in the Mediterranean, while Iran is harassing Israeli shipping. How to describe what's going on in the Arabian Gulf?
Well, there's a tit-for-tat which initiated by the Iranians, and now we see that they hit the Hyperion Ray, a vehicle also owned by the Israeli Ray Shipping Company. They hit another ship a couple weeks ago, here in the Gulf area near Fujairah in the UAE. It doesn't seem that there was any serious damage. It was probably done by a drone, but it was an escalation in response to Israel's attack against the spy ship that Iran had stationed in the Red Sea. This is all taking place in international waters, and they vowed retaliation. So it is a danger because then it can expand to any shipping anywhere from these countries, and especially for Israel. And it is something that they're all looking at, and they're going to have to increase security. But this is something that they have to try to stop the escalation.
Malcolm, at the same time, the United States is continuing to inform us that there are informal talks with the Iranians. And yet the Supreme Leader then makes bellicose remarks saying there's no point in talking, increase the enrichment. It's a puzzle, Malcolm, how to regard all this. Is the U.S. looking to negotiate with people who are both provocative, intransigent, and at war with Israel? Is that what we're doing?
Well, the talks in Vienna are indirect, and supposedly if they come back, because the Iranians were saying that they made a lot of progress and that they were complimentary about the discussions. But I think now there will be a reassessment of this. Zarif keeps threatening that they won't participate, that it's meant to disrupt the negotiations. And on the other hand, saying, well, we won't let them do that. They condemned the European passiveness in the process. And I hope that the message from the administration will be a very strong one. They didn't comment except to sort of distance themselves from these attacks and saying they were not involved, so that Iran wouldn't have the excuse not to talk to them. But the recognition that Iran is in violation and continues to instigate against the countries in the region, that's why the UAE sale is important as a message that we're not abandoning our allies.
Gaza. You tell me, Malcolm, I will be completely amazed at the way weapons are getting into Gaza. Please explain.
So this is an interesting story, because what we found out is the way that they get the weapons is that they're shipped first to the Sudan or Somalia, then transported to Egypt, where smugglers transport them by land to Sinai, smuggle them across, and Bedouins who specialize in smuggling devices and stuff from Egypt deliver the shipment to Gaza through tunnels that they build on the Egyptian side. We heard from General Nagel about the barriers that they put up on the Israeli side, but we don't have the same thing on Egypt, even though they did try to cut off areas by uprooting 1,000 tunnels, the Egyptians. And the second way is the Iran Revolutionary Guard are shipping these weapons. And this is, this is a growing threat, because Iran is helping in the Houthis and helping the Hezbollah and Hamas to expand their domestic production and to take these weapons and enhance them to make them more deadly and more precise.
The murder of a Holocaust survivor in Paris, Malcolm, with a strange twist. The courts, what have they decided?
Yes, today the Supreme Court in Paris ruled that the murderer of Dr. Sarah Halimi, who was an elderly grandmother in Paris, who lived in a public housing development together with the person who killed her, yelling Allah Akbar throughout a window. And now they're saying because he was on marijuana, he was not mentally competent and therefore cannot be tried. And today the highest court in France upheld the lower court that he could not be tried. So this murderer walks out after killing this innocent woman who spent her life helping rehabilitate children. This has caused shock within the community there and a lot of opposition and fear about what this message is that you can kill wantonly and just claim that you were on marijuana and you'll be free in France.
And Malcolm, what's strange here is that we've chronicled for the last years the anti-Semitism around the world, but France was always most suspect in Europe. And this continues that bizarre nature. Let's say happy birthday to Israel, Malcolm. I have the pleasure of being,
yes, which is happy birthday in Hebrew.
I have the pleasure of being the same age as the wonderful state of Israel. Malcolm Holline, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network.